Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is where three astrologers gather on the internet once a week to talk to you about what's going on in the heavens above and how it's going to show up on the earth below, and to kind of take you on a journey that helps share our love of astrology with you. So my name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm sitting here on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk on a beautiful wintry night, even though it's not quite winter yet, but it's cold. Mm-hmm. And I'm joined by my two compadres.
Yep, this is Heather Ron Robin speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where we've got 6 inches of snow on the ground and a few flakes sprinkling down, just gilding the place beautifully. It's lovely, it smells like pine trees, and it's very cold.
Very cold.
Yep. Very cold.
How cold is very cold?
Well, 12 degrees last I looked, and probably dropping.
Oh, that's pretty cold.
I mean, it's above zero, so, you know, it's not bad for this area. Mm-hmm. But you just learn to, took a long walk in the woods at about 20 degrees this weekend. As long as you got your snow pants on, you're okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at that temperature, what happens is the snow squeaks that you walk on it.
Yes.
It's right around 20 degrees that it changes.
Uh-huh.
That squeaks. Yep.
I never realized snow squeaked. Wow. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, it squeaks. It's just a little bit below 20, above zero, yeah.
Well, what makes it squeak?
And this is Mark Waltz, by the way, speaking from Manhattan also, and seeing the same few flakes that Anne is seeing. Mm-hmm. So we can still count the flakes here.
Yeah,
not enough to
shovel yet.
No.
So at any rate, so what do you guys notice in the week ahead that caught your attention?
Can't miss Mercury retrograde.
No, it's heading in there. And the following week has got some interestingly difficult aspects as Mercury retrogrades conjunct Pluto and conjunct Mars and the North Node. I know that a lot of the anger about the information that's coming out now in the WikiLeaks, and I mentioned last week that I'm also seeing information coming out in people's relationships, for better or for worse. It is a lot of powerful information, Mercury-Pluto.
A lot of WikiLeaks in the world.
A lot of WikiLeaks in the world, a lot of WikiLeaks in people's lives. You know, everybody's leaking in their wikis. And if we can, if we can use information not as destructive but as transformative, I think we'll be okay. But since we've got that coming up next week, this week feels like it's really important to just open every line of communication we can and clear out any dross that's in the way so there's less buildup when those aspects happen.
Less buildup of tension and problem. Yeah.
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 And you, Anne, what are you saying?
Well, I just kind of noticed that, you know, that the Mars is also going into Capricorn. He's going to hit the world axis on Wednesday. And, you know, and he's heading right into that Mercury-Pluto-North Node configuration that last week brought a lot of news leaks with the WikiLeaks and also people fessing up stuff. So Mars going from fire into earth. It's got a real potential for flare-ups, emotional flare-ups, and irritated flare-ups, like, you know, kind of that energy. And then it hits the world axis, so it's known flare-ups where we're really going to see it, you know. So I think it'll be interesting. Mark, how about you? What do you see?
Well, that Mars into Capricorn, that's always it's a big deal. It's actually good for Mars to be in Capricorn, but it kind of brings out the control issues, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good, is it, for most of us to have a little bit of control over our passions and energies and how we direct them is helpful. But on the other hand, one of the things that comes up with it is an urge to control. And so the people who have power and authority tend to think that Mars is theirs. And so, you know, when you think about the WikiLeaks and all that, and leaks that are closer to home too, there's going to be, you know, an opposition coming up to it, and maybe some overly authoritative reactions, and that can be, again, in our own lives too. So I like that idea of clearing things up this week. You know, because the more stuff you air out and get out into the open, the less it can blow up. It's like lifting the lid off the pot rather than trying to hold it on. Yeah, because we've all got a pot on the stove.
Right, and it's boiling, baby.
It might be a big one, it might be a little one, but there's a pot on that stove, and it's simmering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so let some of the steam off this week, and then it doesn't have to blow the lid off.
I'm a little worried about the possibility of a major transportation disaster or difficulty, not this week, but next week. I think it might be a tricky time to try to even make last-minute travel plans. So I think it's going to be, if people can avoid making travel plans starting Thursday through the middle of next week and either make your tickets now or when Mercury's well retrograde and starting to get off of that Pluto-Mars lineup, it might be safer.
Why are you thinking transportation? Because Mercury's in the mix?
Because Mercury's in the mix. Mm-hmm. I think it's long, but Mercury conjunct Pluto and Mars in Capricorn. It could be just great ingenuity needed for transportation. But I've noticed lineups like that when we hear, most people are fine, they don't have a car accident, everything's lovely, and somewhere a train hits a post, you know, something... that there can be a real difficulty, ground transportation usually in Capricorn. It's something to keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think safety next weekend first and foremost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice last weekend in that Mars-Uranus aspect, I noticed a lot of people's tails twitching. Fun, some good humor and some good energy, but also on Sunday that tail twitching energy, and it was the first time that Mercury conjunct Pluto. So some issues that came up over the weekend with as that Mercury Pluto conjuncts and it retrogrades back and conjuncts it again, because it's basically sitting right on Pluto for all week, and that it brought up, you know, some deep conversations in what I'm listening on the wires here, but also people looking at the place that they feel insufficient or not enough, or wondering, looking back at regrets in their life, what if they had done it differently, or just large pieces of history that they're bringing their focus to. These are... And just how can we use that in a constructive way rather than get stuck on the past? Always an issue with Mercury retrograde, but Mercury conjunct Pluto, I think, could be a real doozy.
Yeah. Well, we want to be stuck a little in the past with this aspect, too. We're not interested necessarily in moving forward. We're kind of in the mood to kind of mull and whine. Yeah, I was a class tonight. One of my students is like, well, that person just likes to complain. And they get a great deal of joy out of complaining. And I kind of was listening to the conversation, and I thought, yeah, you know, that, you know, sometimes you do get a great joy out of complaining. And that particular person they were talking about does like to complain. So it was kind of one of those, an awareness of kind of the habitual habits.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman goes, so I don't try and fix her anymore. Of course, she's got a lot of Capricorn and Virgo. I just let her be. And I thought, yeah, there we go. You know, it's like, do I have to fix this, change this, do anything with this?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with Mercury and Capricorn, it's really almost best to keep your tongue. You know, just don't say anything. Because you want to, and you will, but you're better off not. Because, you know, what you're going to say is going to kind of, it's going to have a reflection. It's going to have some kind of inflection. It's not going to necessarily come across the way you would like it to come across.
Right.
Yeah, you have to figure with Mercury and Capricorn that everything you say will count.
Yes, will count. Not
one way or another, it will count. There are no throwaway lines.
No.
And so don't think you're going to get away with, you know, talking out of the corner of your mouth. It's somebody's going to hear it.
Right. Or see it or read it.
And so you might as well be in charge and say what you mean.
Right.
And mean what you say. Mm-hmm. This is the time to do that.
Yeah.
But with it going backward, it makes it even more so, because you're held even more responsible for what just came out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, not just what just came out of your mouth, but even things
that came out,
of
a while ago.
Before, yeah.
Where you said, bop, 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 and they're like, what? You know.
Yeah, some of that stuff comes back at you now. Mm-hmm. Remember when you said...
I didn't say that. Yes, you did. My stepbrother and his wife were visiting this week, and so I hung out with them over the weekend. And you know, and he'd said a comment, and you know, we'd had some cocktails. So I kind of said, "What did you, you know, the other day when you said this? What did you mean by that?" He goes, "I never said that." She goes, "Yes, you did."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he kind of looked at her and he goes, "I said it," and she goes, "Uh huh," and he's like, "Okay, well, I don't know what I meant by it." You know, and it was kind of like one of those, like I heard it, she heard it, mm-hmm. he said it, but then when it came, you know, it was like, you know, when it happened, I thought, I'm not going there. We've had mm-hmm. cocktails, you know, and I let it kind of float. And then when I wanted to bring it up later, nope, I didn't say that. It's like, okie dokie.
Right.
And
right.
It's understanding that, you know, there can be a level of deniability. But then she just piped, when he said, I didn't say that, she just piped right up and said, yes, you did. So then he was like, well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm like, okay.
That was your WikiLeak.
Yeah, it was a WikiLeak, yeah. And you kind of go, got it. You know, I get that we aren't talking about this. And I think we
right.
forget, you know, we sometimes think people aren't paying attention. And they are right now. Everybody's paying attention.
But what you might have seen there, you don't know if the guy's just blowing smoke or was he in the process, you know, his subconscious was saying one thing and his conscious mind wasn't listening. You were, but not everybody else.
I was, but he
so,
wasn't, right.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But it's tomorrow that Mars heads into Capricorn, and so we'll have the two, and Venus in Scorpio sextiles Pluto on Wednesday. So it's kind of a deep, you know, coming inside for a festive holiday time. This is pretty deep inner emotional material. So I think that we're going to find that the, you know, holiday parties aren't quite as upbeat and silly and jingle belly as they might be in some other years. And some of it's the economy and some of it will be the aspects that there is a seriousness and a thoughtfulness to the process, which will be helpful when we're trying to get everything done with Mercury retrograde at the last minute. But the seriousness, the thoughtfulness, watching with Venus back in Scorpio, that they're not really. It's a place where we can go to very deep feeling. I said there's a certain emotional steadiness. Whatever mood we're in, when people get cranky, they stay cranky. When they're full of love, they stay loving. When they're meditating, they stay meditating. But it doesn't shift. It's not that easy to shift emotional gears. So to just notice the mood, and the mood might not be changing because anybody around you has changed. If suddenly you're feeling a little snarky or just... you may be needing some time alone or some time to focus on your work, not on theirs, with Mars and going heading into Capricorn and Venus and Scorpio. So it's just sometimes we need to pull in our energy and we need more introverted time and less extroverted time than is usual for this season.
Right, and needing the introverted time when we don't get it mm-hmm. right now, we're going to be cranky
because
we didn't get it because Mars is kind of in a... I don't really have time to hang around and listen to this stuff.
Right.
I want to go do my thing. So there's an impatience, I think, with the same old, or with, oh, you know, I have to hear that story again. And it can be a little impatient. So, you know, sit somebody else who hasn't heard the story down and say, Bob, why don't you tell that story about whatever did this? I don't think they've heard it. And then run away. You know, go. You know, arrange unions where people don't know each other's stories, you know, at the party, and then you don't have to hear it again and again yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really just appreciating that with all the planets in Sagittarius that we all are in the mood to be a little more garrulous, and then we don't have any time to be garrulous. So we're going to be like, okay, I don't have time to do this. Let me figure out another way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And being okay with that, that's all right. You don't want to talk. You're not in the mood. You can't do it. that's a fine place to stand. So it's an interesting time. And I also think when we have, we have all the Mercury and Capricorn, the Capricorn going backwards, sorry, Mercury going backwards in Capricorn, I think understanding that as the last time he was retrograde was when Venus was in Scorpio at the beginning of her journey. And now he's going to be retrograde at the back end of her journey of retrograde. And so he's now listening to her because he was kind of bustling along there. And now he's going to go retrograde again as she mm-hmm. starts to clear that 100 days of Scorpio passion. And so it'll be very interesting to see if their conversation changes, or what they're talking about changes, or what they're looking for from each other changes, because she's had time in the swamp, he's had time to kind of process what's been going on, and now he's going retrograde in a very serious sign. Capricorn is serious. And so he's going to be listening very carefully to hear what Venus has discovered during her time in the swamp, doing the emotional dance of the retrograde that she's been doing since last fall when he last talked to her when he was retrograde. You know, so it's an interesting, they're having an interesting dance, the two of them. And they're also friendly with each other because they're in a sextile aspect. And then this week, Mars comes into the story and he's going to be talking to her. So it's kind of fun. I'm excited. I like it when it's like this.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We learn a lot. So,
shall we give out our number and see if there's any callers?
We sure shall. 347-215-8881. If you're a person who has a call, you want to call us and ask us a question, 347-215-8881. And when you call in, if you want us to call on you, press 1 and raise your hand. There's a caller listening to us right now, but they didn't press 1. So I'm not going to call on them until they press 1. Press 1 and raise your hand, and then we'll call on you. And if you have other questions, you can always email us, too, about the show ahead of time. So,
and it's interesting with when I think of Mercury and Mars in Capricorn as being one of the most politically strategic, sometimes power brokering of places. And, you know, the wheeling and dealing that's going on in the Senate in this last bit of the lame duck season, and the power, the strong arming that seems to be attempted, the wrestling that's going on both sides, feels very much a part of this Mercury-Pluto conjunction, Mercury-Mars-Pluto conjunction. It's pretty unproductive looking, but I just feel a balance of power in a messy, struggling kind of way. And I'm wishing that if we had put that same executive capacity together towards solving a goal instead of wrestling between two power brokers, how much this lineup is a very efficient, very can-get-stuff-done combination if we can harness it in the right direction and not be pushing and pulling against each other. And so I'm suggesting that when I'm looking at families that are in a tense situation right now, and I'm seeing a couple doing a power struggle that feels a bit like the Republicans and the Democrats, and if they can turn that break out of the who won, who lost, who's right, who's wrong, and say, how can we solve our problems, a family problem together, and direct it towards problem solving instead, I'm seeing a real shift. Yeah, but it's so hard to let go of who's right, who's wrong under that combination. And so just remember that for all of us, we find ourselves getting caught in the solar plexus. It feels like it's a very solar plexus third chakra hook. Mm-hmm. And we can choose not to participate in that. But it can be difficult.
Well, I think there's an instinct that wants to participate in it because of the power, the Pluto. We all are feeling like we want to have more authority than we do. And there's a, you know, when Pluto and Mars are traveling and the North Node all together, it's Mercury also. It's like, well, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm just as important as you are. And it's kind of an interesting time, because it's like, well, what is, you know, where's the importance? How do we measure that, you know? And I do find with the political struggles going, I'm kind of like, so, like, why didn't we do this before? You know, and it was so non-cooperative, and now it's like, oh, we're cooperating, and it's like, yeah, you guys weren't cooperating. You know, I want to hit people, and I can't. You know, you get arrested when you do that. But there's a part of me that finds it very frustrating, because it's very much about not owning your own stuff, and it's like, can't we grow up and, you know, work for the good of humans, you know, it just, I don't see why there's this kind of inarticulate, then again, I'm feeling inarticulate, so I guess I should shush. But yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting, you know, how do we do it? How do we get it to the next level? So, but it is Uranus and Uranus is moving forward again. Yay, yay, yay. Full steam ahead into Aries. Yay, yay, yay. So it's kind of no stops till he's into the next sign, and he's just barreling. He's going to feel like he barrels along. So it's going to feel like you think it's moving fast now, just wait. He is moving, cooking and moving. Yeah. So that's good.
Well, that's going to help with it, creating the changes and get the changes continuing.
Yeah.
Moving in the right place.
Yeah, he'll really be pushing it. So, again, our call-in number is 347-215-8881. So that's good. All to the good. So when you're thinking about, like, working with that Mercury in Capricorn, what do you say to people when they have Mercury and Mars in Capricorn? I find that can be also very difficult words, you know, with Mercury stopping.
With Mercury stationary, you mean?
Yeah, with stationary.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite time to try to communicate. Or, you know, I have these, the Mercury retrograde, cannot tell a joke to save my life. I always put the punchline in the first, at the beginning, especially when Mercury's stationary, but all the time Mercury's retrograde. But that it seems to me it's a time to stop thinking and connect in another way other than words. I mean, to stop trying to use our words, or trying to use linear thought, or trying to find our words when we're talking here on the radio. But if we can avoid, it's hard, I think, and I see Mercury retrograde in New York was harder than anywhere else I've ever been.
Really?
Because it's such a mercurial city.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so transportation dependent, it's so to the minute on the schedule. And so many of the industries are word related, and that I saw Mercury retrograde in New York City just snowball in difficulties. And it was the one thing that just about every office I dealt with knew about astrology.
Right. This is true. They all go, oh, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, totally.
But in places where you might be able to express yourself more by feeling or by action, or, you know, the warmth in your eyes matter more, I think you can find ways around this. And for couples that have trouble with Mercury station, often once a problem starts, when a fight starts, they keep trying to clear it up, and it only gets worse and worse and worse. And I say, if you can just shut up and hold hands and walk, or start doing, you take a bath together, and don't try to work it out when it's all knotted up. You know, it's really, you have to get the energy reconnected and then talk over the issue. And then Mercury retrograde can, or to talk around it, instead of talking about what is the problem, talk about how you've been feeling about that in the past. You know, what are the issues that are snarling it up underneath, and how can you create more space of understanding between the two of you rather than try to attack it? The image of the old Chinese finger puzzle where it's, you know, if you pull it, it tightens, and if you if you push it, it relaxes, that it does the opposite of what you think you need to do to get out of a problem once Mercury retrogrades. Mark, how do you experience that?
Well, with the Mercury in Capricorn, I actually sort of like it because it does it does force a kind of organization to the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get at the intuitive level. It's not as easy, and the just letting things happen doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things, it's kind of like having to talk to lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
things are all very strict, very put together, and you can only think in certain ways. It's all thinking inside the box,
mm-hmm.
but it does keep things more contained. So there are certain kind of things you can get done much better under that. If it were to go on too long, I would start getting very uncomfortable, especially because my Mercury is in Pisces, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking inside the box it's not my natural way. But I kind of like it. Maybe for me it's just sort of a refreshing energy. But it can't go on too long. So this is a good one because, Mercury's not that far into Capricorn, and then it's going to back up and go into Sagittarius. Goes back to, 19,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
for the station to turn direct again. So we'll have a lot of Mercury in Sagittarius for this retrograde. But it starts from Capricorn. And then, it gets thrown in with Pluto and Mars. And that's, again, where my feeling on that very much is all your words will count.
Mm.
And so you have to act on that basis. And don't try to slide by on anything. And it's okay to call others on theirs. Go ahead and say, explain that. What do you mean? What are the consequences of that? Let's look at that. And so we're in a period when that's going to happen. And so I'm all right with that. I usually don't have, a real hard time with Mercury retrogrades either. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm just... what happens with me with Mercury retrograde, it's usually about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 2 weeks, I hardly notice it's going on. And then the last week, things start falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, But I know
it's the Pisces, you get a delay.
Some of the people on this call feel
I have a terrible time.
Yeah.
I do. With Mercury as my final dispositor, rules my ascendant, midheaven, sun, and I'm not exactly a blithering idiot, but you can laugh at my Mercury retrograde mistakes.
Right.
You're a Mercury kind of girl.
Yeah, and for the better and for worse. So but I think the Mercury in Capricorn, what I notice sometimes is people go back and look at their life's work. And they think about what they could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really productive to go back and review our life's work. It's not productive to get caught up on the coulda, woulda, shouldas.
Right.
And so if to use that introspection on our review and to think about what have they done in the past that they can bring forward and contribute to the future. Or what have they done in the past that they're really glad they're not doing anymore, like me and waitressing, because I'm such a klutz. But all of the – I was talking to my brother today who's in rehab after a brain accident several years ago when he nearly died on a motorcycle. And he is really coming far. And 4 years later, he has an appointment with vocational rehab, and they're beginning to talk about what they could do to help him get back to work. And considering that we didn't know if he was going to live for months and months, that's pretty wonderful.
Right.
So, but today he was telling me about trying to put together a list for them tomorrow.
Going what?
Of everything, to putting together a list mm-hmm. for the vocational rehab of everything he's ever done in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized he was the third person who has been doing, talking about having to do that this week, or revising their CV, or talking about that they have to do that sometime in the next few weeks. And I've noticed that before with Mercury retrograde, whether they have something specific as like a resume they're updating, or they're just thinking about all the paths not taken. Mm-hmm. I think it is a good time to review our life work, but for the purpose of making a better future rather than giving ourselves a hard time.
Right.
Yeah, and it's true that the Capricorn will bring up the kind of the life path and the the big picture choices.
And why?
Unfortunately, today, Obama has. They were talking tonight that they are brokering a continuation, and this makes no sense to me, a continuation of all the tax breaks, even for the richest, for 2 years, if the Republicans will agree to extend the unemployment benefits, because so many unemployment benefits were due to be up now, and there isn't the work. So that Mercury retrograde in Capricorn is discussing our employment, our unemployment, what's the whole employment issue intensely, and all the power broking going on around that. But it makes no sense if we're talking about creating a major, why can't we balance the budget? We're going to extend the benefits and extend the tax breaks and wonder why the two aren't making it working together.
Right.
Well,
see, my feeling, I hate to say this, is let the Republicans let the unemployment benefits fail and let them go home at Christmas time and get hit with people screaming and yelling at them. Because it's like you elected these people, why are you picking people that are going to do this to you? You see how they're voting against your best interest.
Yeah.
I think that would be the smart thing to do.
The smart thing would be to say, go ahead, let him expire. There's a part of me that's like, I understand he's trying to be nice to poor, people that are going to lose their benefits, but it's also like saying,
because I don't know if they could get him back, and I have a feeling that the difficulty for people would be huge.
No, totally, No, I know, but it's just this kind of stuff makes me crazy because it's like,
I know.
Well,
go
yeah.
ahead, do it, take it back. Go ahead, call them on their bluff. I just get nuts about this stuff.
I think that's true, and actually I think that this Mercury in Capricorn is that would be fitting.
Yeah.
Make people be responsible for what they're saying and what they're thinking. So if the Republicans think that people should not have unemployment benefits, then vote that way. Let it be known.
Yeah.
And don't if you're a Democrat, don't be trying to make some kind of crazy deal to make those people
be nice human beings. Yeah.
Yeah. No, let them go ahead and be nasty if that's the way they think, and then see what happens.
Right.
Very quickly things will get untenable and something will have to be done.
Right.
There'll be an emergency measure passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say let this one expire, because that is what the Republican platform is.
Yes.
Don't help people. Do not help. Except the rich, and then that should be called welfare.
Mm-hmm. And that should be riots in the street because people don't have food. People can't pay their rent.
Right.
And that will quickly make everybody go, maybe we need to be nicer. The Democrats are friggin' Al-Anon enablers.
Yes.
It's like look at them and I go, you all have alcoholic family systems. You do not hold people, you don't, you just keep fixing these people. No, let them.
I know.
Let them be who they're going to be. But anyway.
I know.
Makes me crazy.
I understand that, and I think of some of the families that I've met around here that
need those benefits.
Would be starving over Christmas if there wasn't some continuation of benefits.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe that needs to be more perceived, and they need to be more politically active in the process. But I understand the toughness of trying to figure out where does tough love come in.
Well, it's not tough love. There are no jobs because they've outsourced all the jobs across, you know, Bernanke said yesterday on 60 Minutes, you know, it's going to be a few years before they come back. It's like, no, you can have them back tomorrow by making the companies that save $50,000 on employee staff stuff have to pay $50,000 into the tax. You know, you're saving all this money by employing people in other countries to do our work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got to pay, you know, that savings, you got to pay 2/3 of it back to us. It, you know, it's not rocket science. This is, you know, it's simply not, nobody's standing up and saying, hey, Emperor has no clothes. There's no work because the jobs are all out of this country. And the reason they're out of this country is because of NAFTA and because of the trade laws and the tax laws. Change the tax laws.
Okay,
bringing it back to astrology, right?
Bringing it back to
Capricorn, right?
That is Pluto and Capricorn, and
right? Let them have it. Yeah, let's be accountable.
And it is a death and rebirth of the work structure.
Yes, we have to have work. You can't pay your bills if you don't have a job. Well, at any rate, all right.
We have a caller.
347-215-8881. So here we go. 347-215. How are you? 347.
Oh, hi. This is Joanne calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, Joanne from Brooklyn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up? What's your question? Do you have a question?
Well, speaking of employment,
mm-hmm.
I have a question
mm-hmm.
about my sixth house and my second house.
Okay, cool.
Great. Give us your birth info.
It's June 14th, 1974 at 3:51 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In London, England.
And you said 3 what? I'm sorry?
Oh, it's 3:51.
3:51 p.m. in London.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And you now live in
And you have your Gemini, Moon, and Aries, Libra rising, born as Uranus rises.
Mm-hmm.
And with Pluto in the 12th house at 4 degrees of Libra being squared by Pluto right now, your Saturn at 6 degrees of Cancer, and your Moon at 11 degrees of Aries. So I can see where your cardinal chart's being kind of rung like a bell at the moment. How can we help you? What was your question about your sixth house?
Well, I'm just kind of, I guess I'm wondering how my employment is going to change because I was recently laid off from one of my jobs. And I'm just kind of rethinking how I'm going to, like, what the next kind of direction or what the direction is going to be for work in the near future.
I think it'll probably be a piecemeal thing for a little bit until we get past the summer because Saturn is going to be squaring your Mercury and opposing your Moon. And he goes
coming
up,
across your ascendant.
Yeah, and coming across your ascendant in a while with 3:51, but he's in your 12th house. So a lot of times the structures that you've built really fall apart with the idea being you're releasing them for the new thing. Because Saturn through the 12th says, let go of the things you don't need anymore. And while you think you need a job, Saturn doesn't. So he is going to be going as high as 17 and forming an inconjunct with your Venus, saying to you, what's the value? You know, how are you feeling about this? Is this really important? And actually even really forming a finger of God as he stations in January. And so it's a directional thing. It's like saying to you, are you doing the work you really love? Are you happy with it? And then he's going to go back down to 10, which means he picks up your Mercury and he picks up your Moon again, Moon being a sixth house planet and Mercury being the ruler of your Sun on the South Node. So you're really in a redefining who you are moment in time. So that's part of what this is about and what makes you feel happy. And the way Saturn's getting your attention is by working in that sixth house and the ninth house, you know, because you work in a country foreign from you, which Mercury Saturn is, and he also squares your Moon in Aries in the sixth of the house of work. And he is a ruler of your faraway work opportunities. So this is also a time for you to say, okay, visionary, what am I looking for for my life, and you're also having your Saturn square. I mean, you had it this fall, Saturn square Saturn, which is looking back at when you were 29 to say, okay, I made decisions then. Am I still happy with those decisions, or where do I want to be?
That's brilliant.
So I see that you had natally have some interesting contradictions in your own chart. So what do you want to do is a good question sometimes. You've got a strong natal T-square in cardinal signs, and the Pluto-Mercury-Mars conjunction is squaring your Pluto, and then will be also opposing that Saturn, and Saturn squaring Saturn. So you're doing a lot of rethinking. But it also looks like you've got a fair amount of short-term event support. So what kind of work are you doing? And what would you like to be doing?
I'm currently teaching fashion and textile design classes. And I also am writing comics. And I also am kind of starting a handmade skincare line. So I am doing a lot of little things.
Yeah.
Right, which you said piecemeal, lots of different pieces. Well, I see your progressed moon in Leo coming to conjunct Mars over the next 5 months in your progressed Mars in your house of career, and suggests that the more normally what you're doing by doing so many different pieces fits your Gemini nature. Your Venus in Taurus loves working with the skincare line and beauty in general. The Mercury-Saturn conjunction in the ninth house loves teaching. Yeah, you're right. Mercury in Saturn loves teaching, so that's great to have both of those, your creative side and your teaching side supported. But the moon in Leo in by progression in the 10th for now, which suggests to me that it's short-term in the public eye. It's almost like performance art or creating things that you sell and creating textiles yourself and selling them, not just teaching about it. That the short-term projects that you can do that deal directly with you between you and the public are good ways of augmenting your income at the moment. And projects that would work for you rather than a steady, secure job. So if you have some steady, secure work from one, I would say focus not on getting a second steady, secure job, but by augmenting projects, art pieces, the short-term pieces that can be high profile and do good advertising for the other stuff that you do.
Okay. And does my chart have anything about any transits with changing location, changing where I live?
They do in more next year, in the sense that, you know, once Uranus gets into Aries and it starts coming to your moon, what you're doing now with living in New York, you don't have anything that's kicking hugely for it. I mean, you've got Saturn to your Vesta, which can say a change, but that already happened. And the ruler of your fourth is Mars in Leo, so Uranus is going to trine that, and Jupiter is going to trine that. So you might find a roommate situation or a decrease in your rent situation that could present itself kind of out of the blue, or an opportunity to maybe take over someone else's lease because they're moving or because they passed away.
Yeah, and I agree with Anne that now is probably not the time. The restrictions in your chart suggest that it would feel like your home situation is a problem, but it looks more to me like the if you move, it's because you have a work opportunity elsewhere. As that Uranus comes up to trine that Mars in the 10th house, you know, that work opportunities might encourage you to move. But the difficulties where you are really aren't why you move. I noticed that you have, you know, when I look at your astrocartography charts, you have all the planets, all your Mercury, Moon, and Mars, all aligned around the descendant in the New York area. And so there's so much work in the New York area that's focused on what other people have, and like they seem to have the power strings. I notice on the West Coast you have Venus, which is a very happy planet in your chart, running up and down the West Coast, whereas the West Coast might be more creative outlets for you than the East Coast, which is more about, you know, getting it done, business model, work focused.
Yeah, I feel that here.
But the West Coast might have some real creative opportunities for you to keep your eye open for. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily be there. It can mean you have a gallery there or some kind of outlet there that allows you to have a connection to the West Coast that's taking care of you rather than have to live there.
And certainly there's a lot of stuff in your chart around the publishing. I mean, I think this is a good year to get some of, you know, you said you were working on comic books, to get some publishing energy. You've got a lot of stuff supporting publishing. So I would also work on getting those things out so that as Neptune gets off of your stuff and starts to leave that grand trine, you know, that it'll come into the seventh. And offer in the New York chart, come into the seventh and offer a bit of visibility, a little creativity to it, which is good.
So something that is going to be published or something that was published previously? Because I published a textbook last year in 2009.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think it's a new thing.
New thing.
Right,
it's got a new
process.
Energy to it. I'm not going to say the textbook isn't going to continue to be used. But I think this is something new that you've been working on. It looks like a newer energy rather than an old energy.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, which is good. Mark, do you see anything?
Yeah, I would underline that notion of looking for opportunity, because things overall open up for you by way of opportunity coming in and just being intuitively ready to respond and. So you see something, give it a try. And because you're very good at trying something for a little while. If it's not working, drop it. So you don't get stuck. And that's really a positive. And especially for kind of experimenting and just trying out different things. So, you know, spend this next couple of years just being free of being stuck. You know, try this, try that. Try something for a little while and then put it on the shelf while you try other things. And then maybe you'll go back to that, you know, but constantly be pulling things off the shelf, putting them back on. And, you know, when things are ready to open up, they will.
You also have nice aspects with your, with the creative stuff, really kind of finding partner or finding home for it. Finding a creative home. And so I would look also for creative partners that you could work with in terms of, you know, coming up with new things to sell or new things to put out in the world. Because Saturn going through your second house is very much about, in the New York chart, is about putting down roots that you then build on. And he is stationing on your progressed Vesta, so that can be a housing situation change in January, but it doesn't have to be a move. But usually it's about finding a home or finding a partner to partner with, someone who's a companionable energy that you work in partnership with on an energy. So I kind of like that for the time frame you're ahead of that in the next few months, where Saturn comes to Vesta, progressed Vesta at 17, and then goes back and he's in the second house, which is very much about putting down roots and figuring out where you want to grow. But as you've got a lot of stuff that's really just kind of cooking, it hasn't really ripened yet, and your sun is at the very towards the end of Cancer. And once it gets into Leo, I think you'll really feel, oh, okay, this is what all this creative energy was for. And right now the creative forces are just saying create, create, create. And now, gosh, next year, your solar arc moon comes to your Venus. So that also is a career place in New York, which starts a new 360-year cycle around your career direction and around your creativity. So you're at kind of a dark moon phase right now, closing things up, getting ready for a whole new cycle. And in about 5 months, your progressed moon comes to your Mars, and in 9 months, it comes to your ascendant. And both of those really kind of mark a new direction for you around money as well as career stuff. So you've got a lot of stuff coming, but it's kind of perking. It's like almost a stew cooking that's not going to really be ready until for a little bit longer. So whatever the job was that left, it freed you up to do something you've been needing to do. So just,
yeah,
okay,
you're right.
Yeah, let me go do that thing I haven't been doing because the universe just gave me like some time.
Yeah.
I think it's a good time for you, Joanne. It feels a little scary to lose a job in this economy, but it's also like, hey, you know, you got the space.
I think you need the time. Yeah.
You need the
time. And your chart's in metamorphosis for a couple of years here, so don't worry about getting stuck anywhere. Just keep letting it change into where you want it to go. And that balancing at least three different jobs or three different creative process that are related to each other but each have their own individual nexus is perfectly fine with this chart.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, because you're born on an eclipse, you know, your sun's on the south node, stuff has to leave for the new thing to come in. You know, there's always a release of something. Something always leaves right before something new comes in. So this job leaving is actually a good thing because it's like, okay, that's leaving, which means right behind it there should be a new thing arriving. And the eclipses over the next couple years are in Gemini Sag. So it's a, you know, it actually, I always think with a sun-south node person, it's like, no, you have a directional guidance in your system. And what happened was your booster rocket just fell off, but you're still going forward. You're noticing the booster rocket, but don't worry. There's the Mars right over there, you know, kind of it's coming. You know, you're getting there. But we notice the loss more than the, oh, wow, that left so I can go faster. You know, I just dumped some ballast. My balloon's now flying. But sun-south node, if you think about it, very often you lose something or something leaves your life right before a new big thing comes in. Because of the way your chart is set up, it kind of clears the space for the new thing to come in, and that's kind of what's going on now. So, make sense?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is really validating.
Okay, good. Well, keep us posted. Let us know how it turns out.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
All right. Hi, 818. How are you? Got a question?
Good, Harry. Yeah, it's regarding my finances.
Uh-huh. The financial night.
Yep, okay. Financial night.
Mm-hmm. What's your question? What's your birthday?
September 10th, 1957.
Mm-hmm.
12:49 a.m. L.A.
Let's see. And what's your specific question about your finances? Just general information or?
Yeah, general information and when it will not be so... It's been very, pressing on me when it was going to free up.
Mm-hmm. And you, so 12:59 in the morning, September 10, 57, and you still live in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
Well, Uranus is sitting
right
on
her moon. Yeah,
the moon.
Mm-hmm. Not going to get better through January. Okay,
mm-hmm.
at a minimum. Right now, the ruler of your second house is the moon, Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer rules your second house, and the moon is a 29 Pisces.
The first.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And
the first.
Yeah, and the first. And so Uranus is coming to that and joins on. You know, goes over it. And Jupiter goes over it. So Jupiter goes over the moon in January. Uranus goes over it in March. And there's a lot of stimulation around who you are and your money. And so Uranus natally lives in your second house. So it's really a time of kind of unexpected financial changes and challenges. And you're not going to really...
And excitement.
And excitement. But
yeah.
It can feel like, you know, you make $5 and you have to spend it. It's not going to be... normal money flow. until we get Uranus off your moon, which is in March. Maybe as soon as January.
Well, one question, what kind of work do you do? Because if you do Uranian work, it might be easy.
Right.
But what kind of work do you do?
What kind of work do I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I stand in for kids in the entertainment business.
Oh, cool.
And so it's been like 3 days a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So standing in for kids means what?
When they're doing setup for movies and
you're the person that stands there while they're doing the lighting and stuff. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
thank you.
And
sometimes
so
I'm yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the kids don't actually have to do it.
Right. So they get to rest.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of unusual business for you. You might be being asked to. Stretch yourself, because you've got Jupiter going through your house of career for the next year, and Uranus is spending 8 years there and sitting right on your moon. You know, so it's saying make some changes. If that's what you've been doing, it's great that you do work. You're built to do work unexpectedly in odd places. You know, you're more binge. That you know, you'll do a lot of work. You'll do 3 days in a row and then nothing, or you know, work very hard on one movie and then nothing for a while. So it'll go back and forth for you. That's okay. But it's suggesting that there's some other opportunities for you coming in that you have to stretch yourself out of the familiar and see what else there is for yourself. And that some very positive changes, it's not going to be settled. It's not going to be normal, as Anne was saying. But there are some unusual opportunities. You have to be there to catch them. You have to notice them, that the door is open for you. So to find other ways, it may be doing the same thing that you're doing in different venues. It may be reaching out farther afield in the business. It may be finding some other work that you can do that uses all of your connections. But same, diversify.
Right. And well, I was trying to diversify by becoming like an on-set chaperone for the kids.
Which would diversify
what I have been doing so that, you know, I was trying to figure out, well, can I make a business of this for myself where, you know, I'm on call for these kids that need to be on the set because of the fact that I know the ins and outs of doing the work. So
if you can't watch the kids and stand in for them at the same time.
No.
But you could work with somebody else where the two of you took care of it and trade it off.
Yeah, I could do that or just make a new business for myself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
From it.
Yeah.
No, that would be
absolutely
more lucrative.
That might be a wonderful job for you.
That sounds like that can really work for you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a matter of, because I've been going through this metaphor, what you call it, the past 24, 48 hours, I keep getting this, you know, you need to start this up, you need to start this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a calling for it. And I've been doing some research for the past 24 hours on it, you know, saying that I feel that there's a very big need for it. The parents can't always be there. The parents can't always be there for the auditions or the fittings or to be on set because they might have another child that's doing the same thing and they need another hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of an accompaniment almost. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they can't always be there. They need to have another guardian angel to be there.
Right. Okay. So I think that's definitely doable. I think, certainly... You know, the moon high and with the moon in Pisces high, you know, being kind of a...
And with Saturn in her fifth.
A stand-in mother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A stand-in mom or a stand-in guide for them certainly is is work. And then you've got, you know, industry connections that you can talk to and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this now, so if you have people that need this, refer me out. It can certainly be an add-on to your own work.
Right.
So I think that part is very good, yeah.
Okay.
And then that would be, you know, you're kind of starting to do that as a transition job while Jupiter is heading into your in your 10th house. Because this often is, you know, Jupiter in your 10th is usually good in a positive thing, but because the film industry is just kind of slow right now, this might be a way to kind of really fill in the gaps. Very cool. Yeah, I think, you know, it's not a bad thing, but because of the Uranus coming to your
moon. We're going to have to go in.
I know. Because of Uranus to your moon, you really have, you know, you're really in a major change of your work once every 84 years. So this is a good time to shift it over. So keep us posted. All right. So
yeah.
The British lady has said, so long, farewell. So we're done for the night. This is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, and my compadres are
Heather Rowan Robbins.
And Mark Wolves.
And they're in New York and somewhere in the West where it's snowing and cold and freezing. So join us next week. Feel free to mail us your questions. Stop in and see Mark.
And feel free to give gift certificates for a reading from one of us.
Great Christmas present. We're gifts.
There
we can be your present for Christmas. Or ask for us for a reading from your loved ones. They always are trying to figure out things, and we're green because it's very economical, and it also is disposable once we're done. Eco-sensitive. We're eco-sensitive. I like that. So take care. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Wonderful. Take care.
Bye.